Praise the Lord. Now, how many of you, this is your first time? My name is Elder William Floyd. I'm with the Ministry of ROC. How many times is your first time hearing me share? Raise your hand. This is your first time. Okay, good. Right over there, good. Anybody else? Okay, good. Fresh meat, that's what I always say, right? Now, I'm only kidding. You're not fresh meat. You're precious. I always like to say that, though. Amen. So let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 12. And what we're going to talk about, what the Holy Spirit has laid on my heart for as many times I'm here with you, because I don't know when I'll be here, but for the time that I will be here with you and to share during this year, he wants me to share on ministry gifts. So he's given me that assignment, so I'm going to be sharing on ministry gifts, okay? So this morning, let's turn to Romans chapter 12. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 8. I want you to read along with me. I'm going to be reading from the King James Bible. If you have another version, it's quite all right, and read along with me. Amen? Now, how many of you got your Bibles? I know our young people got those iPads and those phones, right? You got the app on? The app's connected? Okay, you're at Romans 12, right? Okay, let's begin reading. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do what? You present what? Your bodies as what? A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And some translations say worship, right? Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be what? Be ye transformed how? By the renewing of your mind, that you may do what? Prove that what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me. Now, I want you to note that. Listen to what Paul is saying. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think what? Soberly, according as God has dealt to every man what? The measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, every one members of another. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace given to us. Say, the grace that is given to us, we have different gifts. Okay, according to the grace that was given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, according to the proportion of faith. Verse 7, or ministry, let us wait on ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. Verse 8, or he that exhorted on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Amen? Now, in this passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul was writing to the church in Rome, but he's writing to the church at Poconos too. Amen? Now, listen to what he said. What's the first thing we have to do? We have to present what? We have to present our bodies as what? As a living sacrifice. Now, the interesting thing is this. In the Old Testament, when sacrifices were given to God, what had to happen? You had to kill them, right? If it was a lamb, you had to kill the lamb. If it was a goat, you had to kill the goat. If it was a dove, turtle dove, you had to kill it, right? So under the Old Testament, in order for a sacrifice to be usable, it had to suffer death, right? But in the New Testament, where we, you and I are, we're a part of the New Testament, right? In order for us to be an acceptable sacrifice to God, what has to happen? We have to be what? Alive. Amen. Isn't that great? God, that we don't have to walk up to God and just, but we are living sacrifices unto God. But here's the difference. Under the Old Testament, the sacrifice had to die in order to be usable. But under the New Testament, the sacrifice has to die to self. Got that? We have to die to self in order for God to use us. So this morning, what I want to talk about, we're going to talk about ministry gifts. And this morning's message is called Ministry Gifts, A Call to Service. Amen? So now, we looked at this, right? So we have to die to self, right? Everyone got that? But now, what's the next thing we have to do? We have to do what else? And verse 2, it says, and be not what? Conform to what? This world. In other words, I think the Message Bible says it this way. Don't allow the world to mold you into its pattern. Everyone got that? The world has a system. The world has a mode or mold. Don't let the world mold you into its system. But what are we supposed to do? How are we going to not fit the mold of the world? What do we have to do? So in other words, we're not to conform to this world, correct? Now, what's going to help us not to conform to this world? There's my A student. See, I always have an A student here. Say that again. Transform your mind. Everyone say transform your mind. Now, I know the young people here, you know that TV show Transformers, right? Remember, it's a car, right? But then what happens? It becomes a robot, right? It transformed. Well, the Word of God says we have to transform our minds. See, our minds have been geared to think according to the world, right? But now, you and I that are in Christ, we are in a new kingdom. The kingdom we're in is new. The rules that govern the kingdom that we're in the kingdom of God is not the same rules that govern this earth. So we have to renew what? Our minds. See, there's nothing wrong with getting your mind renewed. But now, what are we to renew our minds to? Church, let me say it again. What are we supposed to renew our minds to? Say, the Word of God. See, because, you know, we need to Roto-Rooter our natural thinking every day with what? The Word of God. So every time you're reading the Word of God, every time you're looking at it on your iPad, every time you're looking at it on your phone, every time you're reading it in your Bible, we are renewing our minds. Amen? So now, if we renew our minds, now follow this. We present ourselves as a living sacrifice. We don't conform to this world. We transform ourselves by the renewing of our minds. Now, all of that goes for a purpose, so that we can do what? That we may be able to do what? Prove what? What is what? What is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? You got it? See, here's the number one thing. When I first got saved, I didn't grow up in church. And the first thing I heard was people talk about, you can know the will of God, right? How many of you want to know the will of God? And everybody wants to know the will of God. That's number one. Number one is, am I getting into heaven? That's number one that everybody wants to know, right? After you know you're in, okay, now what is the will of God for my life, right? So now Paul is telling us we can know what is what? His good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now let me ask you this as a question. I'm just going to toss it out here to you this morning. How many of you know what God's good will is? Raise your hand. Okay, this is not, they're trying to sound like Sunday school. This word. Okay, what's his acceptable will? In other words, according to this, there's three levels or three stations of God's will, right? There's a good, right? Then there's what? The acceptable. And then there's what? The perfect, right? Now, let me ask you, I'm going to poll the crowd this morning. How many of you want to live over in the good will of God? Okay, how many of you want to be over in the acceptable will of God? Raise your hand. How many of you want to be in the perfect will of God? Yeah, all the hands should go up there, right? We want to be in the perfect will of God. So what the writer is telling us, and we're talking about this, I'm going somewhere, but you're saying like, well, where are you going, Elder Bill, with this? I'm going somewhere with this. God has a plan for each and every one of our lives. He has a path, a way in which everyone who is a believer can live that life. You can achieve what God has for you. God has a plan for every single one of us here in this room. Amen. Do you believe that? Now, here's contrary to popular opinion or public opinion, a lot of people think that God, when he selects people, because we're talking about ministry gifts, right? And I'm saying it's a call to service. Everybody, immediately when you think about ministry gifts, well, who's talented, who's educated, and all these other things. The world looks for talented people, right? The world looks for educated people, and I'm not against education, okay? I have a degree, and so I'm not against that. But God doesn't work that way. God has an apprenticeship program. Did you know that? How many of you, this is the first time you ever heard that God has an apprenticeship program? He has an apprenticeship program, and I'm going to tell you what it is. Ready? Say it to me. Say S-E-R-V-I-C-E. What does that mean? There it is. So God has an apprenticeship program. Isn't that great? And it's called what? Service. So we're going to look at this morning. Okay, now go back to verse 3. Now listen to what Paul says. I told you that before. Now listen to what he says. He says, for I say through the grace given unto me. So grace was given unto Paul. Turn to Acts chapter 9. You know, when we talk about grace, I mean, there's a lot of teaching, great teaching on grace. So this is not going to be a lesson on grace. But I want you to look at something, because Paul said grace was given to him. He said, for I say for the grace that was given to me, not for any man to think any more of himself, right? Remember? So he's telling you something. Now, let's see, what kind of grace was operating in the Apostle Paul's life? In Acts chapter 9, are you there? Acts chapter 9. We're going to pick up at verse 10, because this guy named Paul was really Saul. And Saul was a bad you-know-what, right? He was a Pharisee, and he was zealous, and he even said himself, I wasted the church. He was a persecutor of the church, right? So he's on the road to Damascus with letters to get other Christians, right? And all of a sudden, while he's on that road, kind of like they were on the road for impeachment, remember? They were walking up to the Capitol Hill with impeachment, right? So anyway, while he was on the road, what happened? He encountered Jesus, right? He encountered a vision of Jesus, right? So now God told him to wait until he sends a person that's going to talk to him. Now let's pick it up at verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in the vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I'm here, Lord. So this is Ananias in a vision, right? He says, arise and go to a street called Straight and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth and have seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming to him. So in other words, Paul in a vision, because he couldn't see at that time, in a vision, he sees Ananias coming to him. Now, for time's sake, I want to move over to verse 14, because Ananias has some reservations. He said, okay, Lord, I heard about this guy, right? So he has some reservations. But now let's see what God has to say. Look at verse 15. No, verse 14. And here he have authority from the, no, verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, unto Ananias, go thy way, for he is what? A chosen vessel unto me to do what? To bear my name before the Gentiles, say Gentiles, and kings, say kings, and the children of Israel. Now listen to what God further says about this apostle that he's going to call Apostle Paul. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So that was the grace. Now, for our definition here, for working definition, I think I was with you last year. We talked about gifts and graces. Grace for us here this morning, I want you to think of it this way. This is a definition of grace that we're going to use. In other words, what it means is this. It's God's power and equipment for ministry. So say God's power and equipment for ministry is his grace. So now God graced the Apostle Paul to do what? What did he grace him to do? To preach the gospel to the Gentiles, to the kings, and to the children of Israel. All right? Now, I want you to see something else. Turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. The book of Galatians, chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, and I want you to see something, because we're talking about Paul, right? Man, we're talking about his grace, okay? We're talking about he understood what his grace was. Now, in verse 13, chapter 1 of Galatians, the epistle of Galatians, chapter 1, verse 13, let's pick it up there. He says, for ye have heard of my conversation or lifestyle in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. There it is, right? He wasted it. And profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. So in other words, Paul was super, super, super Pharisee, right? But look what it says in verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and did what? And called me how? By his grace, right? To reveal his son in me, that I might preach among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh nor blood. So in other words, what Paul is talking about is, this was God's grace operating in his life, okay? Now, what I want you to do, keep that in mind. Turn to Ephesians. Turn to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. I'm not going too fast, am I? Okay, I just want to keep track of the time there because I don't want to go over that. Okay, in Ephesians chapter 4, turn there. Now, Paul is writing to the church. He's writing to us, right? Let's see what he has to say here. Let's pick it up at verse 7. Look what he says. He says, but unto every one of us is given what? Grace, according to the measure of what? The gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended on high, he's referring to Jesus. When Jesus ascended on high, before he ascended on high, what did he do? He led captivity captive. Now, the captivity captive that Jesus led were those Old Testament saints waiting for the promise of the Messiah. They were in a place of Sheol, what we call hell. It was called Abraham's bosom, referred to as paradise. So after Jesus was raised from the dead, right, he went, and after he took the keys of death and hell, he walked over into Abraham's bosom where the Old Testament saints was. He led captivity captive. He took them and brought them into glory. So he led. So there's no more, I mean, some religious circles call it purgatory. There's no waiting place, okay? You're either going in one direction, okay? Everyone got that? You're going in one direction. So we want to make sure everybody go what? Up, not down, okay? But there's no holdovers, okay? No holdovers, no stops. You're either in one place or the other. So now, he led captivity captive, but look what else it says. And he gave what? Gifts unto who? Unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it that he also descended? First to the lower parts of the earth, like I mentioned. In verse 10, he descended is also the same that also ascended up far above all heavens that he might fill all things. Now, hold it right there. What he's saying here is all of us have been given gifts. You got that? Say, I have been given gifts. Now, here's the interesting thing. I had a person say this to me. I had a person say this to me. He said, I want to know what my gift is. He came up to me and said, you know, Brother Floyd, can you tell me what my gift is, right? So I looked at him. I said, okay, so he doesn't attend this church or the other church, so don't look around, okay? People look around. Now, I told him, I said, so what do you do? What do you do in church? What do you do in your church or service, in Christian service, what do you do? He looked at me. He said, nothing. So guess what his gift is? He does have a gift. A student wife, she's right. He does have a gift. It's just that it's latent, okay? He doesn't know where his gift is because here's what happens. Here's what we got to understand, that with God, right, God does not anoint statues. Everyone got that? I want that to sink in. If nothing's happening in your Christian walk right now, this is just right off it. If nothing's happening, then guess what? Nothing's happening. But guess what? The minute we start setting ourselves to motion, God begins to the anointing flows, not because the music goes doom, 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 doom. The anointing don't flow because of that. The anointing doesn't flow because we bounce like this. Everyone got that? And I'm not making fun of that. Then people have had the anointing come on them and bounce around. Nothing wrong with that. But the anointing comes when we begin to move into this area called service. Everyone got that? Now, what I want to take a few moments to let you see, right? I want you to see an example because I don't want you to think I'm making this up. Now, everybody got a Bible, right? Turn to Acts, the 6th chapter. The book of Acts, chapter 6. Y'all be able to get this in. Praise the Lord. So say this with me. Say, God does not anoint statues. All right, you got that? Right now, you can go to them churches, got statues all over the place. And I'm not making fun of any religious group, but I guarantee you, that statue has no anointing on it. That statue is just a statue, okay? Are you at Acts? Let's look at Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, and let's read verses 1 through 6. Are you there? Okay, let's read. And in those days, When the number of disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look out among you 7 men of honest report." Say that. Say 7 men of honest report. Full of the Holy Ghost. Say that. Full of the Holy Ghost. And wisdom. Okay, I'll continue reading. Whom we may appoint over this business. Now follow this. Follow this. The situation was what? There was a situation, right? We call it, in our terms, we say there was a situation between what? The Gentiles and the Jews. Because they were church. This was the early church. And most of the early church were Jews. Okay, everyone got that? They were Jews. They were Jewish that accepted Jesus and they're part of the church. But then Paul and the others went out beside them. So anyone that's not a Jew is considered what? A Gentile. So these were Grecians, right? So there was an argument among the food, the distribution of it. Same thing can happen today. If we had to give out goods to people, there's other people going to say, "Wait a minute, you're giving more over to them and not us?" So now this was starting to become a problem. So the disciples did what? No, the apostles did what? They called the disciples and they said what? Search out what? 7 men. Now, what if Jesus was to walk in here and said, "Listen, there's a situation that needs to be done in this church. Pick out 7 amongst all of you here. Pick out 7 people. Give me the names of 7 people that can do this work right here. Give me the names right now. Give me the names. Don't shout out the names, but I want you to think about this. Think about in this church right now, 7 people, if there was a need that had to be done in distributing goods and services, which 7 people out of you can come up here?" And there's silence in the land. Now just think about it. But here's what happens. Here's something interesting. The 12 apostles told that to the disciples, right? Even in this basic task, there was still criteria. What was the criteria? They didn't say, get 7 guys, you know, hey, let's get 7 guys to do this. They had to qualify. Say qualify. They had to qualify. Now, look at what happened. What's the first qualification? They had to have an honest report. So they had been honest people, right? Honest men, right? What was the second requirement? Full of the Holy Spirit and not full of you know what, right? They had to be what? Full of the Holy Spirit, right? And what else? And wisdom. So in other words, the Bible notates that this was the requirement of the 7. But now as we move further in the story, we find out, I want to see, then now these men that were selected were called what? Deacons, right? So the word deacon really means, just for time's sake here, one who serves. Okay, one, that's deaconia. It means one who serves, right? So these 7 men were called to serve. But now let's look at out of the 7, the Bible records 2. Now they name all their names, but the acts of really the deacons, you see it in 2 people. What are those 2? The first one is what? Stephen. And Stephen preached heaven down to earth, right? He preached from Moses to the New Testament of Jesus Christ, right? He was on fire. The glow of God was on his face, the glory and everything. And what happened after he finished, when he got finished preaching? They didn't give him a love offering, right? That's for sure. What happened? He was martyred. So Stephen, because of his service and because of what he did and because of him preaching Jesus Christ and with boldness, he became the first martyr. So we're not going to look at Stephen, okay? All right, we're going to look today at Philip. Everyone say Philip. Now, let's see what happens to Philip, okay? Now, the Bible records Philip. Now, turn to Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, Paul, remember Saul, he was consenting threats. He was wasting the church. So the church got into persecution, so everybody split, right? Everybody took off. Now, Philip, where are we at? Okay, Acts chapter 8, yeah. Look at verse 5. Then Philip went where? He went down where? To the city of Samaria. Now, here's something interesting. Everybody took off. It's like let's pretend this. Let's say the state troopers and everybody coming here, they're going to raid this place. And we got 5 minutes to get out of here. Everybody's going to take off, right? Now, some of you are going to go, I'm not familiar with all the locations of this area. Some of you are going to go where it's comfortable, safe, nice, right? Now think, what area here is not really the best place to go? You don't have to say it, but keep it in your mind. Now let's say Philip went to that place where nobody else wanted to go. Samaria was a place that the Jews didn't want to go. But Philip was there by himself, right? So Philip, let's keep on reading. And then Philip went down to Samaria and moaned and groaned. Philip went down to Samaria and did what? He preached what? He preached Christ unto them. So you see, so what was in Philip came out. So no matter where he found himself, see, and that's what it's all about. I think someone said that in the praise and worship. I heard that. No, not only when we're in church are we praising God, but no matter where we find ourselves. So Philip found himself in Samaria, and what did he do? He preached Christ. Now, he didn't preach Jesus Christ as we think of it, but he preached about Christ's name. That's his office, anointing, the anointed one and his anointing. So Philip went down to Samaria preaching the anointed one and his anointing. So guess what? Because he did that, let's see what happened. Are you there? Verse 6, let's read it. And the people with one accord gave what? Heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and doing what? Seeing the miracles that he did. Now, here's something about Philip. I want you to see this. We're talking about ministry gifts, right? A call to service. What was Philip's original job? Serving the people. Whose responsibility was it to give to the word and prayer? The apostles. But here's what happened. Because Philip was so much in his service, he was hearing what the apostles were saying. He was hearing them say how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that was sick because God was with him. So guess what? When Philip found himself in Samaria, he said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, healing all that was sick of the devil, for God was with him. He said, as God was with Jesus, God is with me. You come up here, I'm going to lay hands on you. You're going to receive healing. The people gave heed to that. You hear that? The people gave heed to that. And what happened? Let's keep on going down. And many that were with palsies and that were lame. Now go to verse 7. For with unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies. That means they were like crippled. They that were lamed were healed. And look at verse 8. And there was what? Great joy in that city. So we can say this, because of Philip's obedience, because of Philip's preaching the gospel, there was a revival in that city. Would you agree? That's a revival, right? So now you would think that when he did this revival, right, that, it would have been exciting, right? But let's see what happens. Look at verse 14. Now, when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them who? Peter and John. Who was Peter and John? Apostles. What happened to Philip? So now they go down, right? We'll pray for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Now, and then this says verse 17, and then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. But here's what I want you to see, because we're focusing on Philip, okay? Phil, I want you to see the servant. I want you to see his heart. He went where no man went before. Like, remember they said in Star Trek, go where no man goes before. Philip went where no man went before. He ministered, right? And what happened? As a result of it was the gospel, right? The result of the gospel brought revival. But now, from Jerusalem, they bring the two, the big guys, right? The apostles. So now, Philip had to step off. See, submission, he had to step off. The stage wasn't his. The stage was whose? God's. And God was now moving in the apostles because the apostles had a plan that God wanted to do. But let's look at Philip, okay? Are you still with Philip? Now, look at verse 26. So Philip went back to Jerusalem. Okay, remember, they all ran out of Jerusalem. Now Philip's back in Jerusalem. Look at verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying what? Arise and go where? Toward the south unto the way, and he goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is what? Now listen, now think about this. In order for Philip, he demonstrated, he heard from God, but also obedience, because here's now he's seeing an angel. Now, let me ask you this. If an angel told you to go right now down to 611, off of 611, go down to this other place and preach Christ to them, how many of you would go? Okay, I got a few hands. Everybody else going to check that out. I don't know. But, you know. Now, once again, the angel told him where to go. Now, listen, he went down to Gaza. Now, Gaza really is the desert. So you figure Philip should have gotten a promotion, right? He revival in the city. He went to a place he wanted to go. The angel says, okay, now you go from Jerusalem, go south, head down south, which is about 30 miles. And remember, they didn't have cars or SUVs. He had to walk 30 miles to the desert. Now, I don't know about you, but the desert is what? Hot. The desert's got nothing in it, right? The desert is nothing. But you see, look at Philip's obedience. He went where God needed him to be. See, and here's what happens. We're talking about ministry gifts. We're talking about a call to service. Sometimes God may place you in a place, man, what am I doing here? Why am I here? But notice he went to Gaza, right? 30 miles south from where he was, right? Let's keep on reading the story. Verse 27, are you there? And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to worship, had come to Jerusalem for the worship. So in other words, Candace, the queen, was on her way to Jerusalem, and they were in the desert, okay? And remember, the angel told them to go there, right? Verse 28, was returning and sitting in the chariot and reading Isaiah the prophet. Verse 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join yourself to this chariot. That's all the Spirit told him to do. The Holy Spirit just told him he's in the desert. He sees this caravan coming. And the Holy Ghost says, go join yourself to that man right there in the chariot, right? So he goes to the man in the chariot, right? Let's follow the story. We're talking about obedience, right? Notice the Holy Ghost didn't tell him everything. He just said, go join yourself to this man in the chariot, right? Now let's see what happens here. Then Philip ran to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And he said unto him, do you understand what you read? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? You see the strategy? In the desert, in obscurity, in the place of obscurity, nobody's there, nobody's watching, nobody from Jerusalem's watching. Now he's joined himself to this Ethiopian man. This Ethiopian man is reading a scroll. And he's reading Isaiah. He says, I'm reading this, but I don't understand this, right? I need a man to tell me, right? And then he said, verse 33, the place of the scripture which he read was this, and he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth, right? So in other words, to net it all in, he was reading Isaiah. So now Philip, verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth, and began at the same scripture to do what? Preach unto him Jesus. See, he knew what that scripture was saying in the Old Testament. It was the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. Now he's preaching unto him Jesus. And when they went a certain way, they came to a certain water. Now, I remind you, this man has authority, right? This eunuch has authority. He's going to what country? He's from what country? Ethiopia. But they're on their way to Jerusalem, right? So now Philip is preaching Jesus to this Ethiopian, right? Now let's see what happens. And they went on their way and they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me from being baptized? And I always use this in every baptismal service that we use. Verse 37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So God took Philip, who went to Samaria, who preached Christ unto that city, who brought a revival, who went back to Jerusalem. Now the angel tells him to go 30 miles into the desert. He's 30 miles into the desert, and in the desert he sees this Ethiopian. He joins himself to the chariot. The man doesn't understand what he's reading. Philip is telling him it's Jesus, right? The man, they stop. Now wait a minute, there's water in the desert. Do you see what happened? You see the perfect plan of God? There was water in the desert. After he was finished preaching Christ to him, there was water in the desert. There's always provision for us in our deserts. In that place of obscurity where you think, hey, nobody's noticing me. I'm not getting noticed. Man, why am I here? You stay steady where God has you. There's water. Now the Ethiopian says, what hinders you? What's stopping you from baptizing me? And Philip said, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, he said, I believe. Now let's see what happens. They had a nice little baptismal service, right? So he went down and baptized him. And when they would come up out of the water, look what happened. And the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. And the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. The Spirit, now listen to this. 30 miles he walked to Gaza to minister to one Ethiopian man, which history tells us that that eunuch brought Christianity to the country of Ethiopia. Okay, you understand that? But now, after he baptizes him, guess what happens? Star Trek, you know, beam me up. He got translated from Gaza. And where was he found? He was found at Azotus, which was 40 miles north of where he started out. Everyone, you got that? Because he was obedient, okay? Obedient to where God needed him to be and not where he wanted to be, right? Now, he was placed in a place of obscurity. And I want you to think about this. God placed Philip in a place of obscurity so that way he can develop his character. His character was being developed. But also another thing was happening. God was seeing, can I trust him? See, sometimes when we're in obscurity, it's for our benefit, not for the world. God may have you hidden for a season, but when you prove yourself faithful to him and obedient to him, he'll lead you to the next place. And now let's see what happened to Philip. Philip went where? To Azotus, right? Now let's keep on reading. But Philip was found at Azotus. Passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to where? Caesarea. Now I want you to look on your map. If you have a Bible in your map, or you can Google this. Here is Azotus, right? He was down here in Gaza. He's now at Azotus. He's preaching up the coast all the way to Caesarea. Caesarea was 70 miles. So the Spirit of God translated him 40 miles to Azotus, and he didn't stop there. He kept on doing what? Preaching what? Jesus Christ. Every city down the coast till he came all the way to Caesarea, okay? Now, I'm going somewhere with this. You're saying, well, why are you saying all that? Where are we going? I'm going somewhere with this. I want you to turn in your Bibles. Because we're still in the book of Acts, right? Turn to Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21. And let's see what happened to Phil, right? Acts chapter 21. Look at verses 8 and 9. Because now Paul is talking about his travels, right? And look who he came upon when he was in Caesarea. Verse 8. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip, because Philip wound up in Caesarea. But Philip the deacon? What? No? Philip the who? The evangelist. Philip the evangelist. Interesting. Remember, we're talking about ministry gifts. We're talking about his faithfulness, right? So he was faithful to do what God told him to do. He preached Christ, and he was going up and down the coast sharing that. So he stopped in Caesarea. But notice what happened. Something happened from when he was in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 6 all the way to Acts chapter 21. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. I heard it back there. My A student back there said he got what? Well, we say promoted. He got elevated. See, when you're faithful at this level, then God moves you on to the next. When you're faithful in that level, then he moves you on to the next. Paul said it this way. He says, we go from glory to glory and from faith to faith. Everyone say this. I'm saying from glory to glory and from faith to faith. So now think about this. Philip answered the call to serve. It all started from the beginning of Acts chapter 6. Philip started with his answer. He answered the call to serve. The call was given, and he served. And where did he serve? Tables. He served tables until time of persecution. Then he went to the place where nobody else wanted to go. But I like to believe it this way. Because of his service and his level of service and commitment, his steps were ordered by God. So in the natural, it made it look like, well, Philip, don't go there. But Philip went to Samaria. And when he was there, his gift made room for him. You hear what I'm saying? Now, for some of you this morning, that's the same thing. You're on the same train. You're on the same. See, God's got the same apprenticeship program. So I'm just telling you about the apprenticeship program. Now, you can get with the program or you just not want to. But here's what happened. He was faithful in Samaria. He did what God gave him to do. He didn't get an ego. He didn't get an attitude. And, you know, I always hear people say this in church. I've been in church now for 40 years. And I always hear this phrase. I'm here to serve. I'm here to serve. I'm here to serve. How many of you heard that? How many of you said that? I'm here to serve, right? But here's the test. I'm here to serve. I'm here to serve. But let somebody take your place. Let somebody take your place. And then you're going to find out, were you here to serve or to be served? So what happened was when the apostles came, it didn't bother Philip. He went back to Jerusalem. See, it didn't bother. See, sometimes it looks like you got to take a step back in ministry. Take a step back because God is setting up the next track. And the next track was he was in Jerusalem and an angel spoke to him. And all the angel was told him to go down to Gaza. Now, it had been some of us. We said, okay, angel, what am I going to do there? Why are you sending me there? You mean to me you couldn't find nobody else? But the truth of the matter was he was obedient. He was obedient to the voice of God, to the angel telling him, go to. All the angel said was, go down there. And he went down there. And then when he went there, what happened? The Spirit of God began to speak. Spirit said, join yourself to that chariot. You know, I've seen that, I'll put it this way. I've seen more miracles happen outside of church than in church. In my life, I'm saying my 40 years, I've seen God do some miraculous things. Now, in the church, too, praise God, praise the Lord. I'm all for the church. But I've seen God do miraculous things when I was outside of the church. And all he say is, go talk to that person. Go speak to that person. That person needs something. That's all you got to do. You got to walk around with a big T-shirt and a sign saying, I love Jesus, come see me. No, be who you are. And let the Spirit of God direct you to where he wants you to go. See, so in other words, the apprenticeship program for Philip was he had to learn obedience. So we have to learn obedience. He had to have sensitivity to the direction of the Spirit of God. He was sensitive to the direction of the Spirit of God. But also, more importantly, he had a message. And we have a message. And what is that message? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Say that. Say, I have a message. And that message is Jesus. Now, each and every one of us, now I want you to understand this. Not all of us are going to be in the ministry gifts. Everyone understand that? There's fivefold ministry gifts. All of us may not be in the fivefold ministry gifts. But I like to say this. In this church right now, all of the fivefold gifts of the ministry are here in this church right now. You understand that? All of the fivefold ministry gifts are here right now. We don't got to fish for them. We don't have to go on Instagram or pop up a website saying, oh, if you're an apostle, come by and see us. No, the gifts are already here. But what happens is the gifts are latent. The apostle Paul said this to Timothy. He said, stir up the gift. You know, Timothy was a young man, a young pastor who Paul mentored. He said, stir up the gift that was in you by the laying of the hands of the elders or the presbytery. Here's what I'm getting at. Here's the point for this morning. Each and every one of us has a gift. Each and every one of us has been called to service. Now, a famous person once said this. I like how he said it. The person said this. I'm paraphrasing what someone said. He said, service is the rent we pay to occupy our space in life. Think about that. Service is the rent we pay to occupy our space in life right now. That's in general. Everyone got that? Now, the Holy Spirit said it this way. He said, service is the means by which the Father selects and equips those he graces to be placed in ministry. Let me say that again. Service is the means by which the Father selects and equips those he graces to be placed in ministry. Now, I want to turn here, and I'm going to close with this. Turn to Matthew chapter 20. Gospel of Matthew. And if I'm going to take a role, if I'm going to take an example from a role model, the best role model is Jesus. Amen? Would you agree? How many of you would agree that Jesus Christ was the personification of obedience, right? Jesus Christ was the personification of love, right? So now, if we follow his footsteps, if I follow Jesus' footsteps, then I'm guaranteed success. Everyone got that? Now, let's see what he had to say about this. Are you at Matthew chapter 20? Matthew chapter 20, look at verse 28. And it's him speaking. I'll tell you what, go up to verse 25. We have a few moments. Go up to verse 25. Because he's talking to his disciples, right? And look at what Jesus said. And Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles, that they exercise dominion over them, and they that are of great exercise authority over them. Notice what he was saying is, he says the world, when they have authority, they like to exercise it over you. They like to let you know that, oh, I'm the manager here, right? If you're working in a company, I'm the manager. Or, you know, they just want to have authority. Even in church, I'm a deacon. Or I'm an elder, listen to me, right? No, that's the world. The world wants to have authority, and they like to put the badge up there, right? Maybe that's why I don't wear a badge. I think I lost my badge. I just lost it in service, okay? But here's the point. The Gentiles, Jesus is saying Gentiles like to exercise authority over people because it makes them feel important, right? But now let's keep on going with what Jesus says here. He says, but it shall not be so among you. You hear that? If you want to be an authority in the kingdom of God, you don't have to exercise authority over people. He said, it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be what? Your minister, right? Everybody got quiet on that one. Let me say it again. Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your what? Minister. Now, the word minister here really means service, servant. So if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, what should you be doing? Serving. Now, let's keep on going because he didn't stop there, right? Look what he says. He says it this way. Where am I? Okay, verse 28. And whosoever will be chief among you. You know people want to be chief? You know people want to be chief cook, right? Whosoever will be chief over you, let him become what? Your servant. Even as the Son of Man came, not to be ministered unto, but to do what? To minister and to give his life a ransom for many. I want you to think about it. Let that settle in. We're talking about, I know we're talking about ministry gifts. See, ministry gifts start, there's a starting place for all the gifts. And the first place is where? Service. First of all, we serve where we are. In this local fellowship, there is opportunity to serve. The first opportunity I ever got to serve in RLCC, first thing I did in this ministry in Nanuet when we first came, first thing I did was I came on a Saturday with my brother-in-law. That's when they used to have cleaning. They used to have people come on Saturday to clean the church, volunteers, right? And there were so many people that there was hardly no things, nothing, everything was done. So the guy that was in charge, he looked at me, he says, we got everything pretty much covered, but he looked at the brass poles that they have. These are brass poles extensions. He says, do you know how to clean those? And I came from the Army, man. We used to clean brass with Brasso and everything. So I said, okay, I can do this. So the first thing I did was just polish brass poles. Everyone got that? But here's what happened. It wasn't what I did. It was how I did it. And the same thing for you. You may say, oh, well, I got to be in the nursery. Nursery is very important. I got to be a greeter at the door, like Chuck. No, but listen, that's the first face that they see coming in here. But if Chuck is there with a scowl on his face and looking mean, someone may walk in the door and just run out before we even came in, right? So every job is important. Now, here's an example. I'm not going to do it now for time's sake, but if I took all of you in this congregation and brought you up here with me, and I said, okay, let's all start preaching, we won't hear what's being said. But everyone has their place. Everyone has a grace for the place that God has placed you in. So this morning, if you're here and you're wondering, well, I wonder what my gift is, well, I hope this is an encouragement for you. You'll find your gift in your service. The Word of God says this in Proverbs. It says a man's gift will make room for him. But here's what happens. A man's gift has to be seen. Our gifts are seen when we serve. Amen? Everyone got that?